is no order of service. That was the order of service. He needed help, and that's exactly what we are here to do, amen, to obey God's spirit. Can we bow our heads for a moment? I don't know if I'm going to finish this message or not, but let's just be patient with the Lord, because if we need to hear it, then we just need to hear it, amen. Father, we thank you for this word that's about to come forth, God. On last Sunday, we talked about getting rid of our own will, God. Getting rid of our will, our ways, our ideas, our leadership, our need to, Father God, know what's going on, our love, and just letting it all go and giving it to you. So God, tonight we're going to learn about your will. And we thank you, God, that you are teaching us by your Holy Spirit. Now I ask in Jesus' name that you would decrease me in every single way and allow the Spirit of God to rise up in me and take over, God. I thank you for your anointing to teach this word. I thank you for the bread of heaven that's going to be distributed on tonight. I thank you that faith is going to come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I thank you, God, that you're going to supernaturally increase us. You're going to encourage us. You're going to strengthen us through your word. And for these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. His will, his way is the name of the message tonight. His will, his way. A writer, a man of God of old named Watchman Nee said this: in order for God to get all the glory, he has to do all the work. Amen? In order for God to get all the glory, he has to do all the work. The only thing God ever requires us to do is to just believe. He is the one that's going to get the credit. He is the one that's going to get the glory. And if when it's his will, it's going to be his way. Too many times we try to figure out A through Z when God only shows us A. B is on him. C is on him. D is on him. His will, his way. He is the way maker of his will. He is the one that's going to honor himself. He is the one that's going to bring glory to himself and glory to his name. He just needs us to cooperate by faith and be led by his spirit and only do what he says. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we have to make a declaration. We have to be able to say, okay, Lord, you want it, then you perform it. If it's your desire to see this happen, then you're going to have to do it. I am just going to believe, because we will worry ourselves crazy trying to figure out God's next move. We can never figure out God's next move. The best thing to do is just say, okay, God, your will, your way. I'm just going to watch you do it. I'm going to watch you perform. I would rather be a cheerleader for God saying, you go, God, you do your thing. Can't nobody stop you, God. There's nobody like you. That's what praise is. That's what praise is. We're cheering God on. Lord, you're the way maker. Look at you go, God. You're wonderful. You did it again, God. I'm not worried that you paid it last time. You'll pay it again. You healed me last time. You healed me again. Oh, you're such a good God. Oh, you're a great God. Go, God, go. Go, God, go. Listen, listen. His will, his way. Whatever he wills, it's going to happen. Amen. So our declaration must be, okay, Lord, you want it, then you perform it. Whatever your will is, Lord, you perform it. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Brother Bob, is that computer muted on the soundboard? Can you mute it on the soundboard? I think that's where the echo's coming from. Okay. Romans 8, 28, verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Whose purpose?
His purpose.
So if it's his purpose and his plan, then it's going to have to be his way. But he knows how fragile we are. He knows how when the wind blows a little too strong from some direction, that sometimes we get afraid and we get frazzled. So sometimes he's got to clue us in to let us know that we do not need to be afraid no matter what it is. So in verse 28, he tells us, and we know that all things work together for good. So no matter what it looks like, no matter the bad that it seems to be or appears to be, because he knows we're very visual creatures. That's what messed Eve up. He knows these things. So he says, listen, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay? So we didn't, as children of God, and that's what I'm talking to tonight, as the born-again saints of God, he's got purpose for our lives that is absolutely unstoppable because he drew up the plans. It's his purpose, and he declares that all things work together for our good. So when you're a child of God, it's just like watching a good movie that has all kinds of twists and turns, and in the end, you know it's just going to be okay, okay? God wrote the script for our lives, and he told us from the beginning, it might be a wild ride, but I'm here to tell you, all things are going to work together for your good because he has purpose for our lives. And if he's writing the story, he's not going to make himself lose at the end. If he's writing the story, he's not going to allow you to fall and then he just be out of that glory. Amen. So we must understand then, 1 Peter 2 and 9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation. Declare this with me. I am chosen. Okay. If you're chosen, then whatever happens after that is not on you. It's on the one that chose you. Do we understand that? Since you've been chosen, then the person that chose you, God chose you, everything's on him from that point because you didn't choose yourself. You didn't ask for this, okay? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him. So we are designed to show the praises of God. We are designed to praise him. And thank God for this. You're going to need something to praise God for. And that thing that you're going to need to praise God for are all those things working together for your good. Okay, now it comes in as a problem, but it should leave as a praise. Do we understand that? It shows up as a problem, but all you have to do is say, all things, bad news, nope, all things, not feeling well, nope, all things, declare all things, stand on his word, amen? So you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We continually give God praise for calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right? And declare this with me. What happens in the light? Oh, my goodness. Are you awake? What happens in the light? Stays in the light. Now, you've seen the commercials for Las Vegas, and they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But I'm here to declare right now that what happens in the light stays in the light. So since God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, we will continue to see marvelous things as long as we stay in the light. What happens in the light stays in the light. So this is what that means. What starts supernatural must stay supernatural, must end supernatural. Because listen, we left our carnal life behind. We left that normal and that regular life behind. We left that not knowing where we are or who we are and being lost behind. So since he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, whatever happens in the light must stay in the light. Amen? So God supernaturally saved us. So since he supernaturally saved us, he's going to have to supernaturally keep us and supernaturally sustain us. And our problem comes from when we start thinking again with that carnal mind. Listen, what happens in the light must stay in the light. It's a miracle that some of you are sitting here today and you know it. You were on drugs. You were drinking, driving drunk. You should be dead right now. It's a miracle that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And what happens in the light must stay in the light. So since he supernaturally changed us, supernaturally saved us, then he must supernaturally sustain us. We don't need to know how to figure it out. So we must declare his will, his way. It's a miracle that he saved us. Oh, it was his will to save us. So since it was his will to save us, it had to be his way to do it. Because some of us had some praying parents. Some of us had some praying friends and some praying relatives. And they had no idea how God was going to save this mess. No idea how God was going to do it. But they just let it go and prayed and say, Lord, your will and your way. Amen. So we must understand again, what starts supernatural must stay supernatural and must end supernatural. It's a supernatural act that you've been born again. And in order for you to continue living a life in the marvelous light, every good and perfect gift comes from above, amen, from God. So listen, we must keep our eyes on the supernatural. God saved us supernaturally, and we've got to live by supernatural means, okay? We were saved by faith, and we must live by faith. The problem is, okay, we take this saved by faith, this brand new creation, and sometimes we step out of it back into our old way of thinking, and it just doesn't match. We just can't see it anymore. Just can't see it working. Can't figure out how this is going to happen. It won't work this way. What starts in the light must stay in the light. So what starts supernatural must stay supernatural, must end supernatural. So you have to use your eyes of faith at all times and say, God, I'm looking for the supernatural to happen. You supernaturally save me, and you're going to have to supernaturally keep me. I am not dependent on these eyes. These eyes get us in trouble. These minds get us in trouble. Okay? We have to walk. The just shall live by faith. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning, he is the middle, and he is the end. And it takes so much anxiety and so much pressure off of our lives when we say, you know what, let me just get back to the light. Because the light is a person. The way is a person. The truth is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we begin to wonder and worry, we've got to leave those things behind because God has not called us to a world of want of worry, but a world of wonder. He saved us in his amazing light. Amen. So once we declare, okay, God, your will, your way. Say this with me. God, your will, your way. That takes all the pressure off of us and gives all the glory to God when he performs that thing, okay? So you've got to say, okay, God, since this is your will, it's going to have to happen your way. You're God, not me. Put the pressure back on God. We've got to learn how to put the pressure back on God. God, if it's your, okay, this is what you want. You're calling me to do this. You want me to believe for this. Then, okay, you be God. I'm not God. You be God. I'm just going to believe, and that's all he's calling us to do. And that's what troubles our mind, and that's what brings us down when we try to sit in daddy's chair. There's only one room for one in daddy's chair. And what did Jesus call him? Abba, Father. He is the one that makes things happen. Amen? So once we declare, okay, God, your will, your way, what he says to us is, good, then here's what I need you to do. If we're finally on the same page that I'm God and you're not, and you're going to say, okay, God, not my will, but let your will be done, and you're finally going to say, God, okay, your will, then your way, once we've declared that, then God can say, okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we do from here. I need you to have, from this moment forward, concerning this situation, and concerning my will, and concerning my way, I need you to only have a spiritual mind. You must have a spiritual mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Remember what I said? What happens in the light stays in the light. So God is over here working by faith, and you can't figure faith out. You can't figure out God's next move, so you just must plug into the light. And we said the light is a person, and he has a name, and his name is what? Jesus, okay? So that's what we must begin to do. We must have the mind of Christ, which is a mind of faith. Why is it important that we do not have any other kind of mind when we're waiting for God to perform his will, his way? It's because we'll run and hide sometime. If we look at what God's doing with natural eyes, it's too big for us. It's too big for us to see. Remember when Moses went up into the mountain and spent time with God, and he came back down and his face was just shining with the glory of God? And they said, please, please, put on something over your face. You're scaring us, okay? The glory, see, the supernatural will scare the natural if you don't look at it with eyes of faith. Remember the man of God was in the mountains. They were surrounded by an army. And the man was afraid. Look, we are surrounded. And God said, and he prayed for the man and said, God, open up his eyes that he might see. He already had natural vision, or he wouldn't have been able to see the enemies. So what the man was praying was, God, open up his eyes of faith. And when he did that, he saw that there was a host that even surrounded what was surrounding him. Say this with me. What is surrounding me is surrounded. Do you understand that? The problem that's coming to surround you is already surrounded by something bigger. But you can't see it if you're looking at it through your natural eyes or your carnal mind. It takes your supernatural mind or your spiritual mind to see it. Amen? Romans 8, 5 through 7 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So, or they that are in the dark do mind the things of the dark. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I've been praying recently about a decision, and I've been going in and out of my carnal mind and spiritual mind, and it's been driving me crazy until I finally just let it go and said, you know what, God? Your will, your way. And you know what? Here's the thing. We need to be able to recognize that when we're walking in anxiety or walking in fear, that is the evidence that we're living in the carnal mind, using that natural mind. That's why I said the other day, I'm done with Damien. You got to be done with your own way of thinking. You got to divorce your own thoughts. You got to know that, you know what? Sometimes you got to rebuke yourself. Satan, get behind me. I'm not thinking that way. I'm going to look at this with eyes of faith, or I'm not going to look at it at all. Amen? Continuing on. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Remember what I said? What happens in the light must stay in the light. So if God gave you a revelation and you were all excited about it in the spirit, and then you get out of the spirit and look back at that revelation, look back at that promise, you're going to say, oh, we're just grasshoppers. We're just grasshoppers. But thank God for a Joshua and a Caleb. Okay, they stayed in the light. They said, you know what? No, no, no. We are well able to do what God has said. We can do this thing. Amen. That is what it takes when you have the spiritual mind. That is the evidence of a spiritual mind is this. Life and peace. I'm going to look at this thing through the eyes of faith. Look at the issues and situations in your life through the eyes of faith and just declare over it all things. You see, it's easy to see something good and say, look at God. Praise God. Look what you've done for me. But that ugly thing, that trouble, that thing that makes you lose sleep, can you rejoice over that? Because you know the God's plan is this. All things. What do? They work together for what? Good. Amen? Isaiah 55, verse 8 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher, and my thoughts than your thoughts, okay? So like I said, as we read the Word of God and as we're faced with situations down here on earth, we must always realize that what happened in the light must stay in the light. God has redeemed me. God has saved me supernaturally. I've got to live supernaturally. Amen. And the problem is, you know, we can know these things, but we still got to go to work. Or we still got to make breakfast. Or we still got to cut grass. Or we still got to do these natural things. But we have to learn, even while we're doing natural things, to live supernaturally. Okay? Remember, Jesus went to the well. All right? And I take it that he was thirsty, but he also had something supernatural to do. He told the woman, "Woman, give me something to drink from this well." Okay? But the whole time, he was planning to give her something to drink. Amen? So that has to be our mindset, that even though that we have natural things to carry out in our daily lives, that we can still do them supernaturally. Amen? So, verse 10, Isaiah 55 and 10 says this, "For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, for it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which whereto I sent it." So here's what we have here. God's will, God's way. His way never fails. His will never fails. It's up to us to say, "God, if you're going to do this thing, I'm just going to trust you to do it, and I'm just going to have to be still." Amen? So here's what we have to do while we're waiting on God to perform his will, his way, and his time. The first thing that we have to do is only believe. Mark chapter 5, verse 35 says this, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." So this man had just received word that his daughter was dead. And immediately Jesus, the bread of life, gave him a word and says, "Listen, don't be afraid. Listen, stay here." Okay, because listen. Oh, this is good. This is good. Okay, remember what I said? What happens in the light stays in the light. So this man is walking with the light. I told you the light was a person. He's walking with Jesus. He just gets news that his daughter is dead. Okay, Jesus looks over at him. The light looks over at him and says this, "Be not afraid, only believe." Why? Because that man in that moment had the desire to turn and run and break down and leave the light. Listen, we should never leave the light. We should never leave Jesus. That should be the moment that we embrace him. In our greatest moment of fear, in our greatest moment of need, we shouldn't run to anywhere else for help when we're already with Jesus. He is in us. He is with us. You don't need the advice of any other man or any other woman. We just have to trust in his voice, okay? And let me tell you why he was kind of frustrated, or this man might have wanted to run, okay? Because before Jesus told him, be not afraid, only believe, this man came to Jesus a little bit earlier and said, "My daughter is sick. Please come to my house, lay your hands on her that she might be well." He told Jesus that, okay? And Jesus agreed to go. But on the way, say this with me, in the meantime, that's where we mess up, is the meantime. God can give us a word, a sure word for us to stand on and believe on, but in the meantime, some things can happen. So they're walking along, headed to this man's house for Jesus to pray for his daughter. And all of a sudden, a woman that nobody knows about, and now we know about her, she had an issue of blood for a long time. She had spent all her money and went to many doctors, okay? Jesus is walking to this woman's house, and all of a sudden, she reaches up and touches him, and everything stops. Now, Jairus was the man's name. This is where Jesus was going, to Jairus' house. But all of a sudden, here's this other lady coming up, and now Jesus is occupied with somebody else, and he's saying, who touched me? Just imagine Jairus, just like the disciples said at that time. Are you serious, Jesus? There's all kinds of people pressing against you. What do you mean somebody touched you? Now think about Jairus, okay? Using that natural mind, like, okay, Jesus, can we go? My daughter's dying here in the meantime, okay? Listen, let's not lose hope in the meantime, because let me tell you what happened in the meantime. His daughter died. And I'm here to tell you that it's going to look like your dreams have died in the meantime, that God's promise has died in the meantime. That you wanted it to happen your way, and as soon as it doesn't happen your way, you lose faith. So what did the light say to Jairus before they even took off walking? Listen, be not afraid, only believe. There's going to be stops. I'm not going to move immediately, okay? I might not get there in the time that you would like me to get there. If it's going to be my will, it's got to be done my way. And the reason that Jesus didn't speedily go to her house and pray for her, that she would pray for her while she was sick, that she would recover, is this. That girl died, okay? And let's read it. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. I'm sorry, we need to go ahead a little bit. Okay, verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Does this sound familiar? Remember when they said, hey, Jesus, your brother, your friend Lazarus is sick. Why don't you come see about him? And Jesus tarried, didn't he? Okay, because listen. The longer Jesus makes us wait, the more glory is gonna come his way. Okay, the glory is just building. The more impossible it looks, going from sick to dead. From sick to dead is gonna give God more glory. If he had went and prayed for her while she was sick and raised her up, the man would have been happy, but it wouldn't have spread through the region like it did with her being dead. Okay, so let's read that. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado? Or what's all this commotion and weeping? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. What happens in the light stays in the light. Jesus stayed in the light. Everybody else was crying and wailing and worried, but he could see in the supernatural. That's why I'm trying to push us. God is trying to get us to live in the supernatural and to see things supernaturally so that we would not be afraid and just only believe. But what happened there? And they laughed him to scorn. So they went from wailing and weeping and crying to laughing at him. Who is this? What are you talking about? She's asleep. But when he had put them all out, oh my goodness, he put them out. We've got to learn how to put some things out, okay? Some things are going to try to crowd the supernatural in your life. Some things are going to try to drown out your faith. And a lot of those things happen in your own mind, and it's called your carnal mind. You've got to push those thoughts out like, nope, you can't be here. Darkness cannot be here. The Word of God says that light and darkness cannot coexist. So the dark thoughts that we have, that when we're looking at something that God has promised us, they must be pushed out the room. And that's exactly what Jesus did before he performed a miracle. Everybody that was laughing and everybody that did not believe was asked to please kindly leave the room. How important is that? If we are looking at the supernatural to happen in our life, our negative thoughts must leave. Be not afraid, only believe. Amen? And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out,
he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and that was Peter, James, and John, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, or immediately, the damsel arose and walked. For she was the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. Okay? Do you understand that sometimes, just because God is slow sometimes in our eyes concerning his promises, that he's building the story, he's building his opportunity to get glory. I've always said that God is a God of last second shots. He likes to show off sometimes. He could win big. He could win immediately. Do you know that if he wanted to, he could have just sent his word? Didn't he do that before with the centurion soldier? He could have just sent his word, and there could have been the same testimony, and they could have said, well, at the same time that you prayed yesterday was the same time that she got to feeling better and she started running. But listen, that wasn't enough glory. Say this with me. God is after glory. Okay? His will must be done his way. So the best thing that we can do is be still and see the salvation of God. Be still and know that he is God. And the only thing that we can do is just mess it up with carnal thinking. So we must begin to get all those dark thoughts, all those thoughts of failure. Listen, if it's God's will and his glory is on the line, why are we thinking about failure? If it's him, he's the one performing it. If it's on him, where does this failure come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. The author of lies, the father of lies, is going to whisper failure into our ears to make us walk away and not believe. And the only thing keeping the supernatural activity of God alive in your life is faith. Do you hear that? The only thing, see, what happens in the light must stay in the light. So here God gives you a word or a seed or a blessing, and he gives it to you here. You got to stay here with it in the spirit. God, I believe it. No matter what I'm seeing, although I'm waiting, God, I'm going to be still, and I'm going to watch and see what you do and you perform. And God is a God that cannot fail. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet at this time.